Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York and Scottish Rite Mason, as well as Knight Templar. First thing, I want to congratulate Brother Todd Patrick, who received his first degree recently and who has been a listener for some time even before he was a brother. So to you, brother, and also a brewer, I say cheers. I wanted to tell you all something, but this isn't a secret. But so many people don't know this. I have to tell you. If you want to be a Freemason, don't wait. I repeat, do not wait to be asked. That is not how it works. In fact, we are forbidden in most cases to ask someone. I would refer you all to the 2B1 ask one riddle phrase, which quite literally means if you want to be a Mason, you have to ask a Mason. The first piece for this week is called Discretion and Secrets. Discretion and Secrets by Richard D. Marcus, George Washington, 1776 Lodge, number 337, F and AM, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. We live in a time that celebrates openness about one's deepest feelings and worst foibles. The media enthusiastically report infidelities of community leaders. Newscasters tell us the lurid details of the lives of Gary Condit or Robert Blake. Our society's habit of public confession can even become brutal on TV. Jerry Springer encourages people to tell all, and thereby jolt their friends and family into outrageous action. Bluntly stating what you know, regardless of the damage done, is oddly praised as candor or forthrightness. It is almost a part of the American character to say what you mean, and mean what you say, without artful diplomacy or courtesy. Yet we in Freemasonry continue to practice the art of keeping secrets. We learn in our posting that we can tell everything about Freemasonry except the modes of recognition. The question we will investigate tonight is, why do we continue to keep some things secret? Some have suggested that secrecy was needed because political and religious persecution has at times led to the death of Freemasons. Even so, the deliberately public announcement of the founding of the Grand Lodge in London in 1717 would seem to have ended the need for further secrecy. Nevertheless, we persevere in our attachment to secrecy. Others have scoffed that the secrecy is merely a sociological tool for holding a group together through a shared knowledge. Certainly, specialized knowledge helps keep groups together, be it people who love to sing madrigals, those reenact Civil War battles, or professional groups of engineers or architects. But secrecy is not essential to these groups. The answer to why we continue to practice secrecy, it seems to me, is to achieve our goal of becoming better men in Masonry. Maintaining secrecy is a lifelong discipline. Practicing the discipline of secrecy makes us better at doing it. We are likewise commended to keep of the secrets of a brother, rather than gossip what we know to others. Lax discipline and secrecy within a lodge is a source of disharmony. Perhaps a Masonic allegory can help illustrate the benefits of secrecy to our fraternity and our lives. Adam Craftsman worked for several years in sales. His trips took him on long journeys to the north. Adam often returned dejected from these trips with more rejections than he'd want to tell anyone. Pondering his life path, he mentioned his dissatisfaction to his good friend, Buddy Freeman. Buddy, a master bricklayer, enjoyed his work out east. "There is plenty of work for you as a bricklayer," Buddy said. Adam asked to join the other laborers. Adam worked hard, advancing to journeyman and master status under the Buddy's expert guidance. After a hard day's work, Buddy became more serious than usual. "I want you to keep this in the strictest of confidence," Buddy whispered. "It's been something I have wanted to share with you for some time. My son Louis was actually adopted. My wife's family wants it kept a secret. 11 years ago, my wife's teenage sister was pregnant. Since my wife and I were married, the whole family agreed that the baby would become ours to raise, but we are to keep it a secret." Adam felt privileged to share in Buddy's personal secret. Adam congratulated his friend on his fine parenting skills, and as he knew how well Louis was doing. A few days later, Adam shared his knowledge to another bricklayer, who later confided in another. The story slowly spread, each time in the strictest confidence, eventually finding its way to Buddy's distraught sister-in-law and to Louis. Buddy's family moved away. Adam's best friend was thereby lost through his violation of trust. Adam's violation of his obligation reminds us of the enduring value of keeping secrets. We should reflect in our promise not to reveal the secrets of a worthy brother, except in the case of treason or murder. Keeping some parts of our craft secret is surprisingly difficult. In our public gatherings, for example, we may slip by giving the due guard and sign when we know that we should not. Secrecy maintains harmony. When we can keep one simple secret, we grow in strength to keep larger secrets revealed inadvertently at work or in our community. The modern German tradition in Freemasonry tends not to refer to the fraternity as being secret, but as being discreet. Discretion conveys a sense of being tactful or silent rather than a sense of hiding things from others. How can we feel free to communicate frankly and to grow in our development if everything we might say would be aired in public? Our emphasis on secrecy should be relabeled as practicing discretion, since practice helps to perfect our actions. Since practice helps to perfect our actions, let us all live up to our promises in our obligation. We should continue to practice secrecy and discretion, not only in the modes of recognition, but also in the secrets of every day that are daily entrusted to us. We need not say everything we know. As we remain faithful in keeping secrets and showing discretion, we will achieve our goal of becoming better men in Freemasonry. Presented June 18th, 2002.
Freemason Conspiracies.
The Freemasons and World Takeover. There are a huge amount of conspiracy theories linked to the ancient and accepted rites of Freemasonry. Most of these theories claim that Freemasonry exerts control over politics at all levels. Perhaps the best known example is the New World Order theory, but there are others. These mainly involve aspects of agencies of the United States government, but actual events are used to lend credence to the claims. Freemasons are forbidden to discuss politics in the lodge, which makes it particularly hard to plot a world takeover plan, and with over a million men in nearly every country in the world in the craft, how would it be kept a secret? So, all in all, if the Freemasons were planning to take over the world, we are really not very good at it. Regular Freemasonry does not allow, nor has it ever aspired to be a world-dominating empire. Freemasonry is a fraternal organization that simply seeks to improve men so that they may in turn improve society around them. It makes good men better, but it does not tell them how to do it, nor does it give them political, commercial, or religious instructions. Some of the conspiracy theories involving Freemasonry are that Freemasonry is a Zionist front for world domination. An example of this is the notorious and fraudulent document, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. That Freemasonry is controlled by the Illuminati, which refers to a purported conspiratorial organization which acts as a shadowy power controlling world affairs through present-day governments and corporations. That the Victorian serial killer Jack the Ripper was a Freemason whose murders resembled Masonic initiation rituals. That the September 11th attacks were part of a hidden war between Masonry, as descendants of the Crusader Knights Templar, and Islam. That Freemasons intertwine various symbols and numerology into modern cultures such as corporate logos. That the KKK, Skull and Bones, Orange Order, and other organizations are intimately tied to Freemasonry. That Freemasons were behind faked Apollo moon landings. That Freemasons were behind the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, JFK, Diana, Prince of Wales, and even ex-Beatle John Lennon. Now, a side note on that, not part of this article, is that John Wilkes Booth was in fact a Freemason, but I don't think he was backed by any lodge or anything like that. The sinking of the Titanic was planned and carried out by Freemasons. The Freemasons were behind the French, American, and Russian revolutions. Now again, a little interjection. The American Revolution did have quite a few Freemasons involved in the Boston Tea Party, so take that for what it's worth. In the past, European kings and religious leaders distrusted Freemasonry because it encouraged freedom of thought, of religion, and expression, exactly the kind of thing they did not want their subjects to have. Now, if you're an iTunes or Flash Player listener, I'd like to ask you to consider listening via the Stitcher Smart Radio app. Why? Well, there are perks for you and for the show. The perk for you is that you get access to a streaming show. You can also download it for use in a no-service area. Also, you get entered into a drawing to win $100 from Stitcher Smart Radio. The perk for the show is that when you register with Stitcher and you use the promo code WhenceCamey with no spaces, Stitcher pledges $1 to the show. And another great way, I would say the better way, is through our Android and Apple app. Through the app, you get those same features, streaming access and downloadable. But you also get access to bonus content, like the papers we read via PDF documents, and also wallpapers for your mobile device, which are usually Masonically themed. Sometimes I will even upload an entire book or video clip, usually around the holidays, and it's great. Now, of course, this one is at a cost. It is a one-time cost of $2. Of that, the show sees 70 cents, which also helps keep the lights on and the computer recording the great Masonic content that you guys all enjoy. Check those out if you have time. This week's famous Freemason is George M. Cohen. 1878, George M. Cohen, and 1942. A real-life nephew of his Uncle Sam, George M. Cohen was born on July 3, 1878, a life member of Pacific Lodge No. 233, New York City. He was raised on November 16, 1905, and on February 3, 1906, he received his 32nd degree of the ancient Scottish Rite, Northern Jurisdiction, and was a life member. He was also a life member of Meccan Shrines Temple in New York City. Cohen began his career as a child performing with his parents and sister in vaudeville acts known as the Four Coans. Beginning with Little Johnny Jones in 1904, he wrote, composed, produced, and appeared in more than 36 Broadway musicals. Cohen wrote some 500 songs during his lifetime, including the standard Over Three, Give My Regards to Broadway, The Yankee Doodle Boy, and You're a Grand Old Flag. As a composer, he was one of the early members of the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, the ASCAP. He displayed remarkable theatrical longevity, appearing in films until the 1930s and continuing to perform as a headline artist until 1940. Known in the decade before World War I as the man who owned Broadway, he is considered the father of American musical comedy. His life and music were depicted in the Academy Award-winning Yankee Doodle Dandy, 1942, and the 1968 musical George M. A statue of Cohen in Times Square in New York City commemorates his contributions to the American musical theater. That's it for this week. Please find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at WhenceCamey. We're also on Tumblr, Pinterest, and Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. You can find everything, including our apps and other great links, on our website, wcypodcast.com. Stay on the level. For WhenceCamey, I'm Robert Johnson.